A midweek Wednesday edition, a busy one on Connecticut Today. Wednesday, January 6th, we checked in with one of our go-to guys, Dr. Gary Rose at Sacred Heart University. We talked about the Georgia runoff elections from the night before, and we also talked to Gary about the violence that at that very moment was growing at the U.S. Capitol as Congress tried to get together to certify the Electoral College win of President-elect Joe Biden. I also had some thoughts to start the show about the Georgia Senate runoffs. Last night, you know, I was watching. I kind of had half an eye on what was going on in Georgia last night because I started following it somewhat early. Thankfully, Georgia closes its polls at 7 o'clock and not 8. So some of the results had started to come in, 7:15, 7:30. And I stayed up, I think it was till about 11 or 11:30 or something like that. And I noticed that both Republicans there, Kelly Loeffler and David Perdue, they had taken a lead, and their lead was about a point and a half, 2 points. But when I saw that a lot of the area, metro Atlanta and some of the more urban counties of Georgia had not come in, I went to bed saying to myself, well, it's over. It's just not going to happen. And sure enough, I woke up in the middle of the night, like 2, 3 in the morning, gazed at my phone, and saw the continued lunacy out there of this mantra. All of a sudden now, if a Republican loses an election, it's automatically stolen. So I guess we're becoming the party of cranks. Is that what it is? I don't know. We're becoming the party of cranks here because I wake up a little further today and I'm seeing all of these Republican boards I belong to and on Facebook and Twitter. Oh, they stole it again. They stole it again. Well, how do you know? How do you know sitting there with your feety pajamas on, you know, eating your oatmeal and drinking your scotch that it was stolen? No, it wasn't stolen. It was turnout. It was turned. In fact, some of the analyses now, as we get later in the day, this whole turnout meme is showing that is in fact showing that a lot of the Trump voters, for whatever reason, I know they want to be some sort of martyr crew, whatever it is. These Trump voters, a lot of them didn't show up. And I've got the numbers here all pulled up. I'll get into that in a moment. But they didn't show up. There were turnout gains on the Democratic side. But I guess a lot of people in Georgia, a lot of Georgia conservatives or Republicans or whatever, I guess a lot of those people prefer to listen to nuts and crazies like that psycho Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell. Hey, Sidney, where's the Kraken? Is the Kraken over there? Oh, yeah. And then I'm seeing this today with the Dominion voting machines and all this. No, they got more votes than we did. Face it. They got more votes than we did because for whatever reason, you had a president going down there and constantly bashing Republicans, the governor, the secretary of state in a red state, who, which, by the way, is not going to be red too much longer because metro Atlanta is becoming the New York City of the South. So much the way people bitch and cry and moan in this part of the country that New York City skews the upper reaches of New York and the wine country, which is largely Republican. Well, guess what? That's coming to Georgia pretty soon. Because it's almost there. Maybe not for another election cycle or two. But again, this quackery now that they're going to steal the election. All right, show me the evidence. And I know there are some people who listen to this show and who call me saying, well, you keep asking for evidence. Yeah, I do. I got your evidence. It's called turnout. It's called a changing demographic, and it's called turnout. again, any of us who have ever, ever, ever followed politics, whether it's on a city or town scale in some areas, a state scale, a national scale, generally, if Democrats turn out en masse, they generally win elections. What's benefited the Republican Party over the years is that a whole bunch of the Democrat constituency and electorate is lazy. That's been, you talk about a godsend for Republicans. But guess what? At least in this one last night, they weren't lazy. I've got turnout figures here, I'll give them to you in just a minute, that will blow you away in comparison with what a usual runoff draws in Georgia. And it wasn't just Democrat turnout. Republicans turned out okay, but not what the party had projected. And in fact, there was a tweet sent out earlier today by someone on the NRSC, the National Republican Senatorial Committee, who said the trends were looking good basically until Josh Hawley opened his mouth a couple of 3 weeks ago and said we have to challenge this. What did I tell you on this show for the past couple of 3 weeks? You can go ahead and do this. You can go ahead and you can go ahead and have this big big exercise in romper room here, but it's going to cost you Georgia. It's going to cost you Georgia. And it did. Traffic and weather together, 216 203-333 9422 333. It is a midweek Wednesday, the 6th of January, 2021, on WICC. All right, 203-333-9422-333 WICC. I'm warning you right out front. And I was thinking this today as I was puttering around my palatial estate. I'm not going to take any of this conspiracy nuttery today. I'm not. If you've got evidence that the Georgia election was stolen, I don't know, call somebody. Call the FBI, call the NSA, call your grandmother. See how she's doing. You probably haven't talked to her in a while. Call grandma, call grandpa. If you know, if you sitting there and you know in your feety pajamas and your Swanson frozen dinner there, if you have it all figured out, the Democrats showed up to vote. See, this is what's really scaring Republicans. The Democrats finally woke up, and you can say, well, it's only because of mail-in balloting. Well, maybe, yeah. As I said to somebody this morning, maybe it took mail-in balloting to get a lot of the Democrats off their fat rear ends and get them to the voting booths or wherever, or, you know, or not to the booths, just to their mailbox. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. Again, I'm warning you, don't go down the conspiracy road with me, because after the break and throughout the show, I've been looking for this stuff all day. The numbers are telling the story. A lot of Trump voters didn't show up yesterday. They just didn't. They didn't. The New York Times is saying it, the Atlanta paper is saying it, and some pretty influential conservative columnists are saying it too. They just say, look at the numbers compared to the beginning of November. So again, if you're going to toss a fit because, the GOP isn't all together with Trump, I don't care. Burn the party down. Burn it to the ground. I couldn't care less. I'm still going to get paid. Ferris is with us at 221. Hello, Ferris.
Wednesday at the bowling alleys, but today we're in Washington, D.C.
Yeah.
The March on Congress.
Why are you there? Why are you wasting your time? Why are you wasting your time? It is a complete and utter waste of time.
Let me show you the pictures.
And your phone stinks. See you later. Mark in New Haven. Mark, you're on WICC. What's up?
Hey, Paul. Seeing you're not going to take any stuff, I'm going to keep the cracking to myself.
the cracking.
I have three things to say.
Yes, sir.
John Roberts is a fool.
Why is that?
Just like Earl Warren was for Eisenhower.
Wow, you're going
completely liberal.
Well, sometimes that happens. You know, sometimes you put a conservative or a liberal on the court. You're right; it's happened two or three times. Eisenhower was not too happy with that. You're right.
Said it was his biggest mistake. as president.
Yeah.
And as Boss Tweed said in Gangs in New York, it's not how many ballots come in, it's who's putting them.
Well, you know, that was Daniel Day-Lewis, wasn't it? No, that was...
No, he played Bill the Butcher.
Bill the Butcher, yes.
Right.
Yeah, very good, huh? You like that, huh? All right.
Yeah, I think Boss Tweed's great-grandson made the airport in New York, or New Haven.
Tweed, really? That Tweed family?
They're related.
Okay.
Yeah, they're related in some fashion.
You know what? When you call this show, you're just a font of knowledge. You know, the stuff you bring to the table here, you know?
Well, yeah, I do my preparation, you know? I try and make it interesting.
See, in the business here, we call that show prep. So I have a caller who does show prep. This is very good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
What's
your obsession with Truman?
No, because I just finished a couple of books on him. I just finished a couple of books.
He's an idiot.
It
comes from upbringing. His parents are probably idiots, too.
No, but his parents were...
They didn't even give him a proper middle name. They gave him, like, a letter or something.
Truman's parents were sympathetic to the South in the Civil War. No, they weren't. You know what? He makes no bones about that in these books, but he's an interesting character. So...
Yeah, but he probably did more damage to this country than anybody. I got him listed as number 45 on my list of presidents.
Who's number one?
Polk.
James K. Polk?
He doubled the size of our country when he took over Mexico.
Who's number two?
I don't know.
You're just making it up. Get out of here, Mark. I'll see you later. Be good. James K. Polk. Oh, you never know. You never know what you're going to get from Mark. He's like that box of chocolates. Yes, yes, yes. All right, after the news, I've got some numbers coming up because, again, you know, when I saw the numbers out of Georgia, I said, let me see what the turnout is. That's the only real, you know what, folks? You can look at percentages all you want in elections. The thing that really makes a difference is turnout. Turnout. How much of one side or the other turns out? Low turnout, your side ain't going to do well. High turnout, you'll do pretty well, especially if your turnout is higher than the other side. It ain't quicksand here. It's not tough. It's obviously going to have on to talk about last night. And yesterday in Georgia, which we will, Dr. Gary Rose, Sacred Heart University, Poli Sci Government Department there. Gary, I guess we weren't ready for this today, were we?
Oh, Paul, I can't believe what I'm watching on television. This is really it's a tragedy, the way that this election has unfolded and how it's coming to an end. The counting of electoral votes today and this mob behavior that's taking place, not just outside the Capitol, but now inside the Capitol.
That is, and Gary, I am shocked at how, if we learn one thing from today, Gary, where was the initial security? I mean, there are people looking at this saying, hey, look how easy this was.
Yeah, you know, I was wondering the same thing. I see people, I just watched before we came on the air here. I watched people crawling through windows at the Capitol, and they tried to break the door down in the House of Representatives, and then there was a shot too. They showed of a guy in the Senate actually walking in the Senate, sitting in a chair, and so there doesn't seem to be any security. I mean, I know there was a shot of people that were with their guns drawn in the House chamber pointed at the window when they were breaking the windows. But I don't know where the security is here. It just seems to be so, lackluster. I'm stunned.
And, you know, Gary, this wasn't a pop-up protest here. We knew that this was going to happen. The president's supporters talked about it. He talked about it. He said, okay, protest outside the Capitol, yada, yada. We've known about this for what, about a week and a half, 2 weeks? I know I know people, Gary, on buses who went down there for this. It's not like this happened at the drop of a hat and the D.C. police and the Capitol police got caught with their pants down here.
No, not at all. This was announced well in advance. It was clear that the president was going to speak to the crowd. It was more than evident that thousands of people were going to be descending on the Capitol to protest the results of the presidential contest. And so, I mean, it just seems like no one was ready for this, even though it was so advertised. So it's really quite remarkable what's happening here.
Yeah, and maybe if there's one thing we end up taking out of this once this is all over is, you know, Gary, I see one thing coming out here that maybe we should have a fresh look at security here. I mean, what is now, Gary, in the future? What is to stop, unless we don't tighten things down here, what's to stop maybe a small group, an armed small group, of just crashing a window like you and I saw and doing, you know, doing destruction or killing someone?
That's right. And, you know, I think we're going to see in the days ahead, too, the rise of armed militia groups with Biden's election. And now the House and it looks like the Senate is going to be in the control of the Democratic Party as well, from all indications, at least. I know they haven't called one of the races yet, but certainly, and I've been hearing that gun sales are going through the roof. And so it's quite possible that you could actually have an extremely violent confrontation take place at the Capitol in the days ahead.
And
I'm very worried about that.
Yeah, and the scenario here, Gary, of and not just the president, because we know who he is, we know how he stokes the flames. But I don't know about you, I was even among people I know, Gary, relatively intelligent, well-read people I know. Who carry this message of, oh, the election was stolen, the absentee ballots, the Dominion voting. And I kept telling him, no, mail-in balloting cured the Democrats' turnout problem. And I say that to them, and they just don't believe it.
No, they don't. And, you know, that's another thing, too. I mean, this is, you know, we've had these appeals decided in so many courts and all the way up to the Supreme Court. And the election has been decided, and yet there are people that still are just unwilling to believe that that Joe Biden won this election. And while, of course, there were some incidences of fraud, as there often are, you know, the fraudulent instances didn't make any difference at all out there among those states. And so, you know, you can tell people that that it was a fair election and that some of the there were some problems, but nevertheless, Joe Biden, you know, won a pretty commanding victory, quite frankly, even though Trump got 74 million votes,
yeah.
You know, Biden got a lot more. But yet they're still not willing to accept it or admit it. And they, I don't know if they're living in like sort of a detached sense of reality here. And I've spoken to some people, too, who just don't believe that the outcome that was announced was accurate. And I don't know how long they're going to continue to believe that.
This is what happens, Gary. And I said this earlier in the day before we hooked up here. This is what happens when, for whatever reason, a messianic quality is ascribed to a politician. And all right, maybe that politician did things for your party that you never saw done before, making you happy. You turn cartwheels, but it's a politician. It's move on. It's just it's amazing the thinking process of some people.
Yeah, the devotion to the president among certain people reaches a level that actually is somewhat disturbing, quite frankly.
And maybe Gary, that illustrates what you and I have talked about before. Maybe part of this devotion they have for Trump is because for whatever reason, and we can debate this for hours and hours, for whatever reason, they saw him or see him as somebody who is finally on their side. It's odd, but he planted that seed in there.
Well, he did. And so many of these people that are Trump supporters have over the years, and somewhat understandable, though, you know, they have felt detached from the political system. And it is true that a lot of aspects of the political system are not working for the common people. And they have felt that they needed someone to come along and to be their voice. And so I can really understand why so many people gravitated to Trump, because he was the voice of many people who felt powerless. But at the same time, And that has happened before. We've had candidates that have done that. Somewhat similar would be like Ross Perot, mm-hmm. when he ran in 92. You know, he got about 20 million votes. And then deeper down in the South there in 1968, you know, George Wallace yeah. sort of spoke that language too, you know, appealing to people like that. This goes a little deeper than just, you know, looking at Trump as a voice of the powerless. This is almost as if there's this cult-like support for him. And that to me is really a little amazing and disturbing, too.
Yeah, I find it hard to reconcile. Gary, hang on. We'll be right back with you. We'll talk a little bit more when we come back about what actually happened in Georgia last night. Dr. Gary Rose is with us from Sacred Heart University. All right, 203-333-9422 is the number. When we get back to calls, top of the next hour, 203-333-WICC. Traffic and weather together on the button, 346 on Connecticut Today. All right, 203-333-9422. When we get back to calls, top of the hour, 203-333-WICC. Dr. Gary Rose, one of our go-to guys, knows all, tells all about politics and government chairman at Sacred Heart University in Fairfield. We just get word here now. NBC is reporting, apparently, Gary, that the Capitol Police are the only ones in charge here now, but apparently they are calling in help and the Secret Service is responding. They don't play around. So, yeah, the Secret Service is coming in, as is apparently the Virginia National Guard as well. So
I understand that the speaker called for the National Guard to come in.
Yeah, so they've got to quell this pretty quickly.
Yeah, they have to, and I think they will. And, you know, they're going to have to really, really act, I think, in a very forceful way. I mean, I don't want to see anybody injured or shot, or obviously not, although there have been shots already at the Capitol, and I think somebody did get shot.
Somebody did get shot.
But they are going to have to use some harsh force right now to quell this thing and put it down and get these people out of the legislative chambers. You know, milling around in the Senate. I just can't believe that, with signs and sitting in the chairs and then busting those windows and stuff. So they've got to put this down, and they've got to do it today very quickly, very quickly.
Absolutely. Gary, quickly to last night, I guess when you look at those races, all the analysts, Gary, all the columnists from Georgia, nationally, locally down there, both sides are kind of agreeing this a two-factor thing here. One factor being turnout, and the second factor, primarily on the Democratic side, and the second factor being here, apparently maybe some of the Trump voters did heed, you know, however crazy he might be, Lynn Wood and Sidney Powell, and they may just have not voted.
Yeah, I know. There were certainly some counties where it appeared as if the Republicans were underperforming. I was up very late at night watching that with the maps and so forth. Mm-hmm. And yet there are Democratic counties that were overperforming in terms of turnout. And so that really was the deciding factor, was voter turnout. And apparently Stacey Abrams and company did a better job of getting the Democrats and supporters of the two Democratic candidates to the polls compared to the Republicans. And that's how elections are won. And it was, in the end, I know social media, the spending was extraordinary down there, the most ever, actually. But in the end, it was really the ground game, you know, to getting people organized and getting them either at the polls or to send their ballots in the mail. And it was really, despite all the high tech and the financing that went on, in the end, I still think it was the old ground game that won this election.
Yeah, turnout. And Gary, as I tell people on this show who call up who are still incredulous, I tell them something that you obviously, I know, have told your students. We've talked about this. Democrats winning elections, Gary, is directly tied to their turnout. When they show up, they win. When they don't, and their enthusiasm is low, they don't.
That's right. And what is interesting is this was a runoff election, too. Yeah. And so you would think that, you know, turnout would be lower among Democrats, actually. You would think it would be. because in a regular midterm election, turnout among Republicans percentage-wise tends to be a little higher compared to the Democrats, but yet not so in this election. They were highly motivated, and there was a very strong anti-Trump factor. I don't think the president helped his case at all.
No.
You know, on that phone call with the Secretary of State, it just was
unbelievable. What was he thinking? I know that's a tough question.
I know. Yeah. It makes me wonder in the back of my mind if he was hoping that the election would go the other way, because I mean that certainly did not help his case, or certainly the cases of Perdue and Loeffler, for him to be making that phone call and all that he said, and then always criticizing and questioning the results of an election, and so when we talk about some Republican counties there was an underperformance among the GOP.
Yeah,
it was largely because there were some people who probably said, well, maybe the whole thing's rigged anyway.
Yeah.
I might as well not vote.
Well, that's what Lynn Wood was down there in Sidney Powell for, and I kept saying on this show for weeks, Gary, what are you doing?
I know.
Gary, my theory was Lynn Wood was a Democratic plant, but.
Could be.
Finally, we're looking at now a Senate that is going to be 50-50 with Kamala Harris, the tying vote here.
That's right.
I don't think, Gary, and I know there are people on the right who would cringe when I say this, I just don't think this is going to be markedly, demonstrably different than what we've seen before in these cases.
I don't know. You really do have this very strong progressive strain within the Democratic Party. And I think what it comes down to really is what's going to happen to the filibuster in the Senate.
Yeah.
And if, in fact, the Democrats with Kamala Harris, breaking the tie, although Joe Manchin might be from West Virginia, the Democrat who says he's not going to support eliminating the filibuster. So he might be the Republican saving grace there.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, if in fact the filibuster does go down in the Senate, then I do think we're in for a period of some pretty sweeping changes in our country.
I think you've got some good over the past couple of days, Gary. You have some good class material, do you not?
Yeah, it's unfortunate I'm on break.
Oh, that's right. When do you remotely connect with your students again?
Well, I've been connecting with them in various ways on email, and people are asking me about the courses they're going to take. But we're actually going to start in February, the spring semester. Okay. The first week is actually going to be online, and then after that we go back to on ground again. And I'm hoping. Because I'm a real on-ground type of person, although, I've been pretty good on Zoom. I know how to do it, but I really like face-to-face teaching. And so I'm hoping that once we go back on ground that we can stay that way for the duration of the spring semester.
Well, you'll certainly have enough to talk about, I can tell you that much.
I know.
All right.
Absolutely, sure. Yeah.
Gary, thank you. Dr. Gary Rose, Sacred Heart University, as always. It is a pleasure. Gary, we'll talk down the road. Thanks.
Okay, Paul.
Thanks.
All right, take care.
Okay, President-elect Joe Biden addressing now with live remarks the violence going on at the Capitol in D.C.
And the public servants who work at the heart of our republic. An assault on the rule of law like few times we've ever seen it. An assault on the most sacred of American undertakings, the doing of the people's business. Let me be very clear. The scenes of chaos at the Capitol do not reflect a true America, do not represent who we are. What we're seeing are a small number of extremists dedicated to lawlessness. This is not dissent. It's disorder. It's chaos. It borders on sedition. And it must end now. I call on this mob to pull back and allow the work of democracy to go forward. You've heard me say before in different contexts, the words of a president matter, no matter how good or bad that president is. At their best, the words of a president can inspire. At their worst, they can incite. Therefore, I call on President Trump to go on national television now to fulfill his oath and defend the Constitution and demand an end to this siege, to storm the Capitol, to smash windows, to occupy offices, the floor of the United States Senate, rummaging through desks, on the Capitol, on the House of Representatives, threatening the safety of duly elected officials. It's not protest. It's insurrection. The world's watching. Like so many other Americans, I am genuinely shocked and saddened that our nation, so long the beacon of light and hope for democracy, has come to such a dark moment. Through war and strife, America's endured much. And we will endure here, and we will prevail again, and we'll prevail now. The work of the moment and the work of the next 4 years must be the restoration of democracy, of decency, honor, respect, the rule of law, just plain, simple decency. The renewal of a politics that's about solving problems, looking out for one another, not stoking the flames of hate and chaos. As I said, America's about honor, decency, respect, tolerance. That's who we are. That's who we've always been. The certification of the Electoral College vote is supposed to be a sacred ritual, which we affirm. The purpose is to affirm the majesty of American democracy. But today's a reminder, a painful one, that democracy is fragile, and to preserve it requires people of goodwill, leaders of the courage to stand up, who are devoted not to the pursuit of power, or the personal interest pursuits of their own selfish interest at any cost, but of the common good. Think what our children watching television is thinking. Think what the rest of the world is looking at. For nearly 2.5 centuries, we, the people, in search of a more perfect union, have kept our eyes on that common good. America is so much better than what we've seen today. Watching the scenes from the Capitol, I was reminded, as I prepared other speeches in the past, I was reminded of the words of Abraham Lincoln in his annual message to Congress, whose work has today been interrupted by chaos. Here's what Lincoln said. He said, "We shall nobly save or merely lose the last best hope on earth." Went on to say, "The way is plain, peaceful, generous, just. A way which, if followed, the world will forever applaud and God must forever bless. The way is plain here, too. That's who we are. It's the way of democracy, of respect, of decency, of honor, and commitment as patriots to this nation. Notwithstanding what I saw today and we're seeing today, I remain optimistic about the incredible opportunities. There has never been anything we can't do when we do it together. And this God-awful display today is bringing home to every Republican and Democrat and independent in the nation that we must step up. This is the United States of America. There's never, ever, 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 ever been a thing we've tried to do. We've done it together. We've not been able to do it. So, President Trump, step up. May God bless America. May God protect our troops and all those folks at the Capitol who are trying to preserve order. Thank you, and I'm sorry to have kept you waiting.
All right, there you go. The president-elect Joe Biden to take the oath of office on January 20th in another 14 days. Mr. Biden stepping up there and giving an address. Some rather pointed words from the president-elect there, the former vice president, urging President Trump to go on television to denounce what happened. Now we'll see whether the president-elect's message gets to Mr. Trump or not, but we shall see.